B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 98.5, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray, joined by Dan Lifshitz. We got a lot to get into today. The Final Four, the championship game, the national championship. There's also some hockey playoffs. Looks like they're all set. We get the odds for that. Hey, WrestleMania, I am going there this weekend. I'll be in New York, and we'll have some of the odds for you and some of the early thoughts on baseball season, and we'll take it to the window with your questions. So, Dan, I got to be honest with you. I have not been in the betting scene over the last couple of last few days. I wanted to take the Miami Heat in game last night. That would have lost, so I stayed away from that. But as far as last week goes, Auburn, are you surprised? You know, Duke knocked off. Maybe surprising, but at least we discussed the possibility for Michigan State.
Yeah. You
know, any big upsets for you? Are you surprised with the Final Four that we see here?
I'm very surprised with Duke. I really thought that. I mean, listen, I told you whoever wins that game would win the Final Four. I stick by that. I stand by that notion. I am surprised that Duke lost that game. I honestly thought they should have won that game. You had so many chances. They just had so many chances, so they blew that. I am somewhat surprised that Auburn's in the Final Four. Not totally surprised. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure when it came to picking them versus North Carolina, we had the money line. So I mean, we talked about that in the podcast.
And I thought North Carolina would win the whole thing. But you, dude, again, and we'll get into it, but. That was a hell of an odds, man. If you could get Auburn, like if you've been riding Auburn, I know that first game was scary against New Mexico State, but you're cashing as if they're dogs, man. You're cashing.
Yeah, I mean, that was my big bet last week was Auburn, so I felt pretty good about that one. We had talked about that a lot. I'm not surprised that Purdue lost to Virginia. But the fashion in which they lost was disappointing for me because I really liked Purdue. I'm pretty sure the last podcast was like the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16. Yeah. So, you know, I had Purdue winning that game. So that was not a major surprise to me.
Four and a half point spread.
Yeah. I was not a major surprise. I knew Michigan State was going to blow out LSU. I said on the podcast that LSU was going to cover and then changed my mind. Mm-hmm. I did think that Houston was going to beat Kentucky. So, I'm really surprised that they struggled at the end there. They looked like they made the
comeback. That one was a 4-point spread. Every single game, Dan, came down to the wire as far as spread goes.
Yeah, and Gonzaga was the only one that did. Yeah, Gonzaga was the only one that didn't. That and Texas Tech. And Texas Tech really blew Michigan. Of course, I praised Michigan on the podcast, and they lay an absolute clunker.
Oh, my God.
So that was pretty bad.
So bad. As a gambler, one thing that really stood out to me is, and this is sometimes the difference between college sports and professional sports, but, you know, you talk about that Purdue game. How does Edwards pass that basketball and not take it himself?
I mean, that's just a horrendous decision.
And then the other one is the Duke game, right? I get it. Barrett may be a better player than Zion. Who knows?
NBA player,
not
yeah,
get
but
Zion
not
the ball late there.
Yeah, I mean, in NBA, Barrett's going to be a better player, in my opinion. But in college, I mean, Zion was dominating that entire game. That was literally Zion versus Michigan State, and not to give him the ball there was a horrendously stupid decision, which obviously Duke will ultimately have to live with. I do think that the Duke injury has caught up to them. I mean, it's not really an excuse, you know, to be perfectly honest with you. But I do think that, you know, when you lose you know, when you lose a quality player, I mean, you lose a guy like Cam Reddish, you're going to be, it's going to be a different team. And I know that, you know, Jack White played a little bit, not Jack White. Who was the kid who stepped in for him again?
Yeah, I know.
I can't remember what. Alex O'Connell, whatever. And I know that Trey Jones went off, and you know, versus Virginia Tech. But at some point, you know, losing Reddish, and I know that he's definitely the worst of the three, but nonetheless, still an NBA player, that hurt you. And so that, you know, that really hurt Duke. And then, you know, lead eight, Auburn beating Kentucky. I mean, you know, I felt Kentucky had a massive lead early, you know, up by 5.5, but really shaving it up by 10. Blue, you know, Auburn comes back second half. Kentucky probably should have just won the game and not covered, but I mean, really, Auburn came back and won and dominated that overtime. They deserved to win that game. So, you know, I can't get upset about that bet because I was on Kentucky that, but I have to be perfectly honest with you, Joe. This weekend is going to be very interesting. I'm pretty excited for Saturday. I do have a play of, in my opinion, a big play. So I've already laid a bet on this. I laid a bet on it literally right after the games. So I'm already in. I'm already invested in one of these games pretty heavily, to be honest with you. And I'm going to kind of leave it at that. Well, we can get into more. But, yeah, that, and then we have the NHL, obviously, that's going to come up, Joe. The games are not set, so we do not have, you know, all the matchups set, but we have a bunch of them set. For instance, you know, the Bruins will play Toronto. We still have, we don't know who Tampa Bay is going to face in the first round. It could be Columbus. It could be, you know, I believe, you know, it's the Canadiens, possibly.
Yeah.
We have Washington, who finally clinched their division tonight. So they're going to be facing either Carolina or Pittsburgh, I believe, is the other possibility. And the Islanders and Pittsburgh. So the East is really, a mix-up right now. Then we have Calgary and Colorado, who are, you know, are basically going to be in that matchup. San Jose and Vegas, which is already locked in. Winnipeg and Dallas. So Winnipeg could be Winnipeg or Nashville or St. Louis. Any of those three teams could end up winning that division. They'll be facing Dallas. And then whoever the two losers are of Winnipeg, Nashville, and St. Louis will be facing each other in the other matchups. So that division, very tight in the NHL. That will be interesting. We'll get into that. And in WrestleMania, I don't really know much about wrestling. We've discussed this many a times on the podcast. So I don't really know anything about WrestleMania, but certainly glad to talk about the odds and talk about futures and how wrestling, just betting is in general. And I guess we could also kind of get into playoff hockey betting. It's certainly different. It is very, very different from betting regular season hockey. Very yep. different.
Yeah, and again, like I've always dabbled on the Stanley Cup playoffs, and sometimes you do have to ride the hot goalie. I know that's the trendy thing to say, but sometimes you do have to in a series. So we'll leave it there. First segment, we always try to recap the week that was. So we'll get into the final four teams in college basketball coming up next. It is the Over Under 985 podcast. Dan Lifshatz is at Dan Lifshatz. I am at Joey Murr, Joeymurr, and we are at Over Under 985 on Twitter. We'll get into the final four coming up next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
So, Dan, I'm excited for the Final Four this weekend. I'll be in New York. So, you know, when the games begin on Saturday, 6 o'clock, I'm going to have to find somewhere to go to watch this in New York. And then there's going to be, like, the 9 o'clock game Michigan State, Texas Tech. So I need to find a place. But let's just start Auburn, Virginia. Okay.
Okay.
The line's 5.5. It opened at 5. It hasn't moved. All right. It's 5.5. It scares me. Now, just off the bat, I'm going to get a few things out. Okay. Forget about, like if I'm looking at this, I need to put money on it. And that's what everyone's listening to this podcast for. I personally think Virginia has been the most consistent, best team in the country all year long. But they have holes, like big holes. If you look at Auburn can score the basketball. They've won 10 in a row. They've covered as dogs, covering as favorites. And like the total in this one's 131. I already lean over in this game. So just from a betting standpoint, I think Virginia is just being a little overvalued at 5.5.
I'm going to disagree. I think that Virginia is the right side in this one. I think the 5.5 should tell you everything that you need to know about the spread. I think...
Well, explain that for a second, because normally a closer game would be, what, 1, 2, or 3, but if something's 5 or 6...
5.5. So, I'll give you a perfect example. Tonight, I believe, I think it was Green Bay Marshall in the CIT. Green Bay has been very, very good, and Marshall has been, you know, pretty good as well. Both those teams have been pretty good. You know, the spread was 5.5, I believe. Marshall's favored by 5.5. They won by 20. Not saying that it's going to, you know, it's a similar game or these, you know, similar teams, but the spread should tell you, those big spreads in these closer games should tell you everything you need to know. Look, these two games remind me very much of the NFL playoffs. Dogs cleaned up on wild card weekend, and then after that, we know what happened. Faves cleaned up in the divisional round in the AFC Championship. So that's the way I look at it. You know,
you're looking at this as Virginia, Michigan State, despite the lines.
Well, we'll get into the Michigan State game, but I definitely think that Virginia is going to win versus Auburn. I don't have a play on this one, to be perfectly honest with you. But if I'm taking a side, I'm definitely taking Virginia. I do think that Virginia is the better team. I think that defensively they've been the best all year. I really thought that they would struggle to score the ball come the tournament, which at times has been true. You look at that first half versus Gardner Webb. I mean, really, a 16 seed, they could not score versus that team. However, since then, they've been very good, very, very good offensively. Diakite has become, you know, a monster.
Dennis Rodman?
Yeah, seriously, I mean, he really has been. And DeAndre Hunter, who has been, you know, their star player throughout the year, has been very average. So, you know, and I know he had a great last game, but outside of that, he's been very average. You know, Jack Salt, who is like their big senior center, has been, you know, invisible at times, but he's also been fantastic at times. So you really never know what Virginia team you're going to get. That's the thing. I do think that Auburn just doesn't have the size to play with Virginia, and Virginia can still cover the perimeter. So I think that really what it comes down to is that Virginia can, you know, stop Auburn from shooting the three ball. They play defensively very well, you know, especially on the perimeter. And I just don't think Auburn has the big guys to match up with, you know, Virginia. I mean, really, matching up versus Diakite, he's not a monster, but he's like 6'9 or so. And, you know, Hunter's long at like 6'7, 6'8. You know, Salt is 6'10. That is a long team. And then you bring, you know, you bring a few guys like Braxton Key off the bench. Like, he's 6'8", like, that is a big team if you're talking about just size-wise. And I just don't think that Auburn has the size to play with them. I think that reflects very much in the spread. Like, Bryce Brown is small, dude. Like, he's 6'3". Yeah. He's their guy that, you know, goes. And Okiki's their bigger dude, and he's done. You know, he tore the ACL. And Harper's 5'11", too. So, you know, Harper and Brown are really the guys who make that team go. Now, they are going to have an advantage, you know, being a little bit smaller. But defensively, I do worry about Auburn. I just don't think they have the size. I think that Virginia is going to win that game.
So here's why I like Auburn, Dan. First off, I just, you know, you mentioned Brown, Harper. Like, those guys have been outstanding. They shoot the three like it's nobody's business. Now, here's where the key matchup is. And you make a lot of good points when it comes to Virginia. they're you know, they're going to swarm on defense. I think I saw a stat that they gave up about 55 points per game, Virginia. So I don't think they can hold Auburn to 55 points. And so right off the bat, if I'm making a play, it's the over. Over 131. That's what I like in this game. But I favor Auburn. I don't think Virginia has closed out anybody. You know, even when it comes to covering a spread at times. So, I don't know. In this spot, I like Auburn 5.5. I think it's going to come right around that number. Either 4 or 6, right around there. But I do think this year, Virginia has been the best team.
Yeah, again, the size to me is the big deal here. I think the size is really going to hurt them. You know, no Kiki is going to be a huge blow, in my opinion, to Auburn. So we're going to see.
That's another thing, too.
Yeah, I mean.
Is that going to help them or hurt them, you know?
We'll see. I mean, I think it's going to hurt Auburn tremendously. They'll be able to spread the floor a little bit more, but that's not necessarily a good thing when you cannot cover inside. So we'll see what happens there. I am interested. You know, I am honestly interested to kind of find out, kind of what happens there. So, but I got to be honest with you. Me, if it's for me, I'm taking Virginia in the points. That's my pick in that game. Not to mention,
about Harper real quick. The kid has scored 18 points per game the last 7 games. Like, he's been on fire, but if they can't get to the line, we know how disciplined Virginia is. Auburn gets to the foul line, and Harper has been getting to the foul line. If Virginia can play good defense, not get into the bonus, it's going to hurt Auburn in that case. So, to your points, that's what Auburn has to defeat. Like, Virginia's that team, but they've been so inconsistent. Who knows? Auburn could hit 20 threes again. It's just that's the kind of game both these teams are. Is one of them going to score 80? Is the other going to stop, hold them to 55 and go to the national championship? That's why this is going to be a great game.
No, I agree. I think it's going to be a good game. I do think that Virginia is going to win. I think Auburn will, you know, Virginia will probably get up to a big lead. Auburn will make a run. They'll come back. Virginia will hold and probably hold on to win by 10 or so. I don't think it's going to be all that close. I just think that Virginia is a significantly better team. The injury hurts. The size is, you know, is a big factor to me. And I just, you know, I think that Auburn is a very good team. But I just, you know, at some point, I think that all these good Cinderella stories come to an end. The week off really hurts momentum for the Cinderella stories, especially, and, you know, for the lower seeded teams. It always does. The teams that are hot, playing well defensively or shooting well, it always cools them off. And so in my opinion, I just think that week is going to hurt. I'm taking Virginia 5.5. So,
Dan, I haven't done this in a long time, but give me over 131 as a PP in this game.
Wow. Was not expecting that at all. I like it. I like the move. I do. I like it a lot. All right, let's get into the Texas Tech Michigan State game. I'm kind of interested to hear your thoughts. I certainly know where I'm leaning in this one. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Okay, so it's Michigan State or nothing. Okay, first off, but second, if we're just being honest with each other, Texas Tech has been outstanding. They have played above and beyond all expectations, and the kid Culver has turned himself into a lottery pick. And if this tournament has helped anybody whatsoever, it is Culver. The kid has been absolutely outstanding. He's hitting big shots. He gets to the rim. Like, he can, you know, off the dribble drive. Like, but I just feel like Izzo is going to come up with some sort of defensive key to stop him. Like, let somebody else on that team beat you. And right now, like, I don't know if other teams have been trying to do that. Gonzaga, we talked about this last week. Gonzaga's got 3 potential pros on their team, and they couldn't do anything to stop this kid. So, you know, as far as who's the best player, it's Culver. And it was the weirdest thing today. We're talking with Danny Ainge today. He calls in the Toucher and Rich, and, you know, the host made a point about Michigan State not having any pros. And Danny's like, I don't know about that. And, like, I don't know, the kid, the point guard from Michigan State, pretty good player. The big man inside, pretty good player, and they've had lottery picks year after year. So, you know, the way I look at it is I think Izzo will just figure it out. Like, this is what he does. He could get five of us, Dan. You know, like, he could get us and get us to at least the Sweet 16. So in this matchup, I think it's stopping Culver. And, you know, they have a kid named David Moretti, who, if he can knock down shots for them and be that secondary scoring option, it will keep Texas Tech in the game. But overall, this is Michigan State. Now, earlier we talked about the line. You said 5.5, and right away Virginia pops off. Well, how about in this case? 2.5 Michigan State? That's a square play written all over it. So, I don't know. Is Texas Tech maybe the right side when it comes to just looking at the line?
I don't think it's that square, to be honest with you. I don't. I mean, I think that this line is actually more dead on. I think the squarest play is probably Auburn 5.5. It's probably the squarest play, out of these four, out of these two games and the four sides. I think Auburn 5.5 is definitely the square play, in my opinion. They have 75% of the bet right now. I would consider, Auburn definitely the square play. Texas Tech, Michigan State's probably about 50-50. You'll probably see a little bit more money come in on Texas Tech as we get closer. People love trendy dogs the way it is. So, there's, in my opinion, that's not much of a surprise. This is my PP. I'm just going to do this. I'm not usually one that lays the juice. We all know that. I hate laying juice. We've talked about how that's not the way that I'm profitable. That's not the way I bet. But I'm going to make an exception here. I'm going to make an exception. PP, Michigan State money line. Look, I like Texas Tech. I do. I think they're a great story. They've been a very good team this year. But outside of playing very good defense, what do they do very well? You know, they couldn't score versus Michigan for like the first 20 minutes of that game. Really struggled to score. Now, they got it going in the second half once they had a nice lead. Texas Tech, to me, seems a little bit of a front-running team. If they do not play well early, they get down. And we've seen that throughout the year. I mean, that's been like
a UCF game maybe at one point. Trying to think of some of the games they've lost.
So, I mean, they were down to Gonzaga by 2.5. But, again, they were not expected to even be in that game. I think
Culver took over.
Yeah, and again, but really throughout the year, the problem with Texas Tech has been offensively their front-running team. They cannot score when they need to. Well, Michigan State is the type of team that will really, really hound you. And I don't even want to care about the spread. I don't want to care about it. So I'm just taking the money line. Michigan State minus 150. Look, Michigan State's the best team in college basketball. They just beat the second best team in college basketball, in my opinion. And that team is better when they have Cam Reddish. So, and Michigan State barely beat them. So with Cam Reddish, Michigan State's probably not here. But there they are. And I told you from the beginning, Michigan State and Duke are the two best teams in college basketball. I said UNC had a chance if the bracket fell for them the right way. It didn't. We talked about, at the beginning of the year, Joe, we talked about laying potential plays on the line. Who are you going to pick for your national championship? I had Duke. I had Michigan State. I had Nevada. I had Florida. I had UCLA and Mississippi State. So, those are my five, and Duke is my square play. I've liked Michigan State all year. I love this team. I love the coach. The coach always wins in this spot. Always. This is what he does. He gets his team here. He wins. He doesn't always win the national championship game, but he always gets his team here. And honestly, Joe, my opinion is that they are going to clean up this game. I don't think this game is going to be relatively close. I think Michigan State might roll them.
Ooh.
However, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to take the money line here. I'm not a big fan of laying juice, but I'm very confident in Michigan State winning this game. And because of that, I will lay the juice. I will be confident here. I will tell you this. I made a big, big bet on this game. Big bet on Michigan State. I've already laid it. I laid it, I laid it literally the day that, that Texas Tech won. And the minute that Michigan State won versus Duke, we talked about this game. We were in studio. We were shocked, and I said, no way Texas Tech is going to beat them. We talked about that week off, really hurting these hot teams. Texas Tech has been very good defensively, but they just haven't been a great offensive team this year. I think Michigan State's going to roll them. I really do. I think Texas Tech will struggle scoring. I think Michigan State will figure out the Texas Tech defense. They'll get it going, and honestly, I think they're going to win this game. I don't think either of these games are going to be relatively close, to be honest with you. I think we had an amazing Elite Eight and Sweet 16, and we're going to have a relatively terrible Final Four. That's my opinion.
So that could be the case. I mean, another thing, too, is it has been a good tournament overall. There's been exciting games. Has there been any buzzer beater like March Madness stuff? Probably not. Something has to give. Like, something has to give here. And wild card spot, it's Auburn for me. Like, they got the kids injured, Bruce Pearl's story, winning the SEC, knocking off North Carolina, Duke's out, you know, Virginia's choked in the playoffs before. Like, they're like the true underdog here, unless you want to look at Texas Tech as like, because if you look at it, they lose three games all year long, six games all year long, Texas Tech, but they've always been in the conversation, you know? Like, Auburn's had to deal with other SEC teams. Now, Virginia, their big thing was, can they get out of that first round? Can they get out of the first round? They did. They moved on. But Michigan State, they got hosed. If you really look at it, they got hosed going into this tournament. It worked out for them. Somehow it worked out for them. And I don't know. The series and matchup we want to see is Virginia-Michigan State, right?
I mean, that's what I would like to see.
And if I was going to prognosticate a line on that, I'm going to circle Michigan State as a favorite -1.
So, actually, the future line is already out for all these games. Would you like
them? Oh, give them to me.
All right, hold on. Let me pull them up here. But, yes, the future line's already out. I can already tell you what the what that line is. That is Virginia -1. Let me pull them up. I favored the tweet the other day. Dave Mason from Bet Online had the odds, but basically, yeah, I mean, basically they're saying Michigan State and Virginia are basically even, you know, so, which is not a shocking surprise, you know what I mean? That should not really surprise anyone. Okay, championship game look ads: Texas Tech -1.5 versus Auburn, Virginia -3.5 versus Texas Tech.
By the way, that would be bad for college basketball.
Agreed, it's not going to happen.
I mean, I love Bruce Pearl, right? I mean, that's my guy. The cheating guy. I love guys who cheat, you know?
Not
and
cheating,
he's from Boston, trying. And he's Jewish, and he's from Sharon.
Oh, Jesus. He is from Sharon. So, yeah, Texas Tech -1.5 versus Auburn.
I think he's Jewish.
Virginia -3.5 versus Texas Tech. Michigan State -4 versus Auburn. Virginia -1 versus Michigan State. So those are the look headlines that, you know, I found. Dave Mason released them from Bet Online. So those are what you can bet right now. Here's the thing. If we're looking at, and here's where I see the value, right? We're looking at this. Michigan State's -4 versus Auburn, right? So they think that Michigan State is, you know, 1.5 versus Auburn, but, you know, they're only a point worse than Virginia. I think there's true value in Michigan State. In my opinion, that's my champion. No matter what, if Texas Tech wins, I got nothing for you. I really do. I'd be shocked if Texas Tech actually wins this game. So for me, Michigan State, I'm rolling with it. I think that Michigan State plays Virginia. I think Michigan State will win.
Ready for this?
Yep.
I'm gonna lock in over 131 in Michigan State money line right now. And then I'm going to wrap it up in a small parlay for Final Four fun.
See, I think I like the over in that game, I think, better than the Virginia game. I think the Virginia game is going to go under. I really don't think Auburn's going to score much versus them.
You're killing me.
I know. I'm being a Debbie Downer. I just the under to me.
Going to New York, man.
Here's the thing about Texas Tech, Joe, and I'm telling you, I've really been looking into this team. During the midseason, they played very well. So, like, you know, like right after they got out of non-conference, you know, right after they started conference play, they played very well. However, there was a stretch where they played good teams who were able to move the ball around, have big bigs, and able to shoot. Here are the teams: Iowa State, Baylor, Kansas State, and West Virginia. Those are all the teams that fit that agenda. You can argue Kansas and Oklahoma, too, because Kansas and Oklahoma are built similarly. Here's what they did. Lost to Iowa State at home, lost to Baylor, lost to Kansas State. Then they lost at Kansas, then they lost to West Virginia. They barely beat Oklahoma. I'm just saying, teams that are similar to the way that Michigan State is built, they have not done well against. So, you know, that's all I'm saying. And by the way, I don't know if I'm sick or have allergies. So if you hear me sniffling, I'm really sorry. But I just, you know, I feel I cannot breathe.
You did in Vegas, right?
Seriously, I just can't fucking breathe.
That's a joke, everybody.
Yeah, relax.
It's a joke. So,
that's my thing with Texas Tech. They just struggle city versus teams that are built like Michigan State. Deep teams can shoot the three, move the ball, play well inside, play well outside, really can beat you from anywhere. So that's the thing with Texas Tech is I am worried about that.
The kid from me in Michigan State's Tillman. Right, a kid comes into the game. I think when the center got hurt, they moved him into the starting lineup, and since then he's about 14-8. So, and he had 19 points against Duke. So, yeah. I think Tillman will be the man. You mentioned size; the kid can play.
Him and Burke. Burke is the sophomore who was very good inside versus Duke, and he was the one who, you know, between him and Aherns, who's kind of short but still big. He's like 2'10" or whatever. They were the kids who were really, you know, guarding a lot on Duke's big guys. And I honestly think that was kind of the big reason that they were able to win.
So we're in agreement. We like Michigan State money line and to win the national championship.
Okay, so yes, you think Michigan State's going to win too?
I do. If Auburn gets past Virginia, I will dabble on Auburn. Dabble.
So Virginia and Michigan State win, you're going to take Michigan State. If Auburn and Michigan State win, you're going to probably bet Auburn.
I'm going to probably do a little
money line. What about Virginia and Texas Tech?
For Virginia, laying it.
Gotcha. Okay. And Auburn, Auburn and Texas Tech? Auburn.
Auburn. Yeah. Bruce Pearl, baby.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think Auburn's run and Texas Tech's run is going to end here. I think you'll see the faves. Virginia, Michigan State. Two best teams. I mean, I don't think Virginia is a number one seed. I think that Michigan State probably should have switched in the bracket where Virginia was. So this is an interesting game to me. If that happens, I'll take Michigan State in a very close one.
And I think that going forward, Michigan State should be more respected going into the tournament, but I think this worked out perfectly for him.
Agreed. And again, one of the big reasons I'm on Michigan State, to be honest with you, not to mention the fact that I love them, but just the fact I'm going to bet the money line big. If Michigan State wins, if you've been listening to this podcast and you followed my futures, which I know a bunch of you have because a bunch of you have been tweeting about me, how I'm going to hedge it, how to hedge it. If you lay Michigan State money line big this week, right, and they win, well, you have a free hedge because you can take the money that you won plus the money you bet on Michigan State and bet it on Virginia. And you'll still, because Michigan State at the beginning of the year was plus 3,300, plus 3,500, you know, plus 3,800. I have three futures, Joe. One for 33, one for 35, one for 38.
I mean, or you can just triple down.
Yeah, I mean, again, so I'm rolling on Michigan State. I'm giving myself a potential hedge versus Virginia. Yeah. That's the way I look at it. Because I think Virginia's going to win that game. So that's the way I'm looking at it.
All right, that is our Final Four and National Championship preview. Of course, we will not be on the air for the National Championship. So what we will tell everybody on Twitter is to go listen to the podcast.
We're not giving out the picks on Twitter.
I won't be here this weekend. So,
I'm just telling you right now.
Listen to the podcast. We gave out PPs.
Yeah, we gave out podcast picks. We are not, I'm telling you guys right now, we're not giving them out on Twitter. Also, can I say one thing, Joe? Because one thing is starting to really bother me.
Okay.
Sorry, I know. Just one more thing. Sorry.
Lifshats. We got to come up with a segment like this.
I have probably 10 to 15 dudes a day tell me, hey, man, I didn't get to listen to the podcast this week. I'm wicked sorry. I always listen. Can you tell me the play? No more. We're done with that because I got it too, Dan. I caught a couple dudes lying to me last week, Joe. I said, okay.
I work a job, Dan, if I can't listen.
Well, no, Dan, I don't even care. I don't even care about that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. A couple dudes in my DMs told me they listened to the podcast. I asked them a very simple question about the podcast. They're like, oh, I listened to the podcast, but I forgot who it was. You know, I forgot what the play was. I said, okay. Very simple question. What was this? Oh, you know, I don't know. Well, if you would have listened, if you knew, you would have listened. Or if you listened, you would have knew. okay, I didn't listen. We're done with that. So no more.
Crankies. We're the crankies.
I am cranky. It's 11:30 and I'm tired.
No, you know what though? Listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Sorry guys.
And just so you know, like, dude, I guess we should just bring it up now. You know, there's tote services. People have asked you and me, hey, what do you think you're gonna pay for their picks? Like, I think I'm speaking for you, Dan. We're just doing a podcast and we're giving you our advice, and hey, you either fade or follow it. And I think that's the best way to go. But we might as well bring up the action series that is on Showtime. I had a chance to talk with Mr. David Check is his name. And nice. I know we're not fans of Vegas, Dave.
No.
And, you know, Kelly in Vegas, I don't mind. I follow her, and, you know, she's okay.
I could do with her or do without her. She doesn't really do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, again, she was known as somebody who would hit big parlays and was a waitress or whatever.
Right. I mean, she's an attractive, somewhat attractive female. And so people are all about her because she gambles, you know, that's her allure. But she has a boyfriend in Vegas. He's a fucking loser.
Come on.
I'm not kidding, dude. That dude is a fucking loser.
We're getting open here.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And then there's Cracker Barrel. And like that's the guy that, like, you know, yeah, I don't even know the teams. I just bet $3,000 and I fold them funny ways. Like, people. If there's one thing, all right, so we don't like Vegas Dave. And we don't have to go into it. I think it's more about he's a tout who did hit a bet. I'll give him his credit. He hit his damn bet. He hit his big bet.
No, he
won $2.5 million.
Nah,
He took money from everybody.
He bets on both sides. So that's we've talked about this. He bets on both sides.
And listen, just for these people who ask about this stuff, you know, Dan, you said it well. If people want to go listen to 98.5thesportshub.com, hour two with Toucher and Rich in Boston, Dan explained that a lot of these touts put money. They'll tell 50 people. If they get 100 people, they'll tell 51 play, 50 the other play, and eventually they can post a winning ticket.
Right? Exactly.
And it's a service, and, you know, just beware. That's why I think it's better to fall. Like, I'm on a cold streak. Hey, feed me. I bet you've been crushing it this tournament.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? I went 0-2 tonight in hockey for the first time in a long time. I think we were like 6-3 this week and just lost two, so I'm pissed. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's you know, bad nights happen. That's bound to happen. I will say there are a few, probably like three guys who paid services who I like. I've recommended one of them, I think, online before. I'm not going to recommend the other two, but, you know, for the most part, there's like three dudes that, like,
so,
kind of actually make profit.
I'll be honest. I've done it once. And the reason why I did it was I felt like this person had information. Just information that, like, dude, I'd see the play, I'd watch it, and somehow it would hit. You know, like, just, and I'm like, there's information.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, just information. And I don't know. That's why I want to continue to watch that action documentary. I want to see where else this goes. You know, I always use Sam Rothstein, right, from Casino, the guy who just knew whatever the line came out. He didn't even watch the games. He's just smoking a cigarette, and he goes, "Yeah, give me 500 on this." And all the guys run out to the payphone and start calling the touts. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
That's what I feel. Just some people have information. Good for them. But we're all weary to it. And 75% can't happen. It can't happen. Unless you're like three bets in.
Claiming they had 75% of your bets, you know you're a fraud. Anyone who claims it's 75% of the bets, I mean, the best dudes in the world, again, hit like 65 to 67. That is the pinnacle, like the top three or four people in the world. After that, and those guys do not sell plays. They're in, you know, they run with syndicates and massive groups. Yeah, like, I mean, seriously.
A martini in there.
Yeah, they run with massive groups. Like the other dudes who do, you know, professionals hit like, you know, 62 to 64, you know, and, you know, really you're looking at the low end of the 62s. And then you have the guys who are very good, like us, like the 58 to 61 range. Very good.
The other thing I'll say about that series, and I don't want to keep pumping it up because I just don't want to give that guy Dave any more money.
Do not buy his plays. Do not be a dumbass. Do not buy his plays. Simple.
No, you know what that, you know what it is now, though, is I feel like this guy's actually going to make a legitimate business out of this.
Oh,
you
God,
know?
No, he's not. No way. That dude is a scumbag.
Well, from what we heard, he kept betting against the Patriots. How'd that work out in the long run?
Super, super really good. Good job, Dave. You really killed it there.
All right, I'll watch episode 3 and then I'll see if
I... No, I mean, I'm going to watch the whole thing. I'm just telling you, that guy is an idiot.
Yeah, and then just one last thing. There was this guy at the end. He was depressing. He was once a good-looking dude, and he's just ruined his life because of gambling. He owns an apartment and just has a carry-on bag and a laptop. Like, that's it. That's it. That's all he's got in a bed, like a little bed. And you could just see the bags under his eyes. The guy gambles. He's stressed out. No girlfriend. Like, don't. I understand we're degenerates and we laugh about it. But, like, somewhere in all this, people want to call us degenerates or think you're addiction problems. And don't get me wrong, there's numbers you can call if you do have those issues. But, like, I got no time for that shit. Sorry, Dan. I got no time for that.
I don't either. I'm not addicted, so I don't care.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on. Want to do some hockey matchups?
Well, yeah, we'll talk some hockey.
Boom. And hey, Lou, not forgetting about the NBA. It's just that they start a little late. Yeah. And I don't know, Dan. I think there is money to be made in the NBA this year.
There is definitely money to be in the NBA playoffs. We will discuss that next week. All the matchups will be set, the lines will be out. I've already circled matchups and be playing and everything. But we will discuss that next week because that starts, I think it's like next Friday, next Saturday. And so we'll have the podcast out by then for that. In regards to the, in regards to the NHL, it starts next Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember. So we're going to talk about that first. So you guys can at least get the look at it for that.
All right. Going to do some hockey. Yeah. Get your skate sharpened and your stick. Get it all taped up and start putting those pads on.
You can tell Joe did not play hockey.
I did not. My family did not have an SUV. They would not wake up early to drive me to the ice skating rink. And I was also very heavy as a child, so I couldn't skate. But I did play street hockey, and I was a goalie.
Well, that, okay, that's fair.
And I used my first baseman's mitt. And I was very slow. Hockey coming up next on the Over Under 985 podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 98.5.
You know, you think you would have made money if you bet on the Mighty Ducks? Like, do you think you could have been able to bet on the, like, the Olympics or, like, the sports? What were they in?
I have no idea. Whatever the hell league they were. I don't remember.
Man, I haven't seen... I want to see a good flying V. You know?
You think there's flying Vs in the NHL these days?
No. Not too many line changes. They couldn't do a line change to set up the V.
Flying V basically would be illegal these days. So,
and like, what about the knuckle puck?
I mean, that's a legitimate thing. You can knuckle puck away. I'm just telling you that. I don't know if that works.
When are we going to get another Julie the Cat? Like, is there going to be another woman goaltender in the NHL someday?
No.
What are the odds on that?
The odds are not happening because she'll get killed. Can you imagine a woman trying to stop Zdeno Chara's slap shot? I don't care how big she is.
Well, there was one years ago, right? The girl from the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Honestly, I don't know, but I just know that that will be a horrendous idea these days. I can't see a woman that, you know, is in athletic enough shape to play goalie taking a Zdeno Chara slap shot or
Manon, you know, Room. That's who it was. A retired Canadian ice hockey goaltender. Olympic silver medalist.
Hard pass. All right. Hard pass.
All right. So, Larry, just let me do a little quick hockey, because
sure.
you're the hockey guy on the show. I'm not going to claim to be any sort of like hockey expert.
You're the wrestling guy on the show. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, so when that comes up, we'll change spots.
We'll switch spots. Okay.
You can give your thought, but here's the deal for me. Eastern Conference, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's Tampa Bay. The Bruins are right behind them. Right behind them. But have they done enough? Have they done enough and can Tuukka Rask win games? And, I mean, Vasilevskiy's been very good. So, you know, that's what it looks like. Toronto could be a tough matchup for Boston, and maybe the Canadiens sneak it in. The Washington Capitals, still a good team. I don't think they're as good as they were last year, that's for sure. So when I look at the East, like, that's what comes out to me. The West, I mean, what, Calgary? Like the West, I think, is wide open, but Calgary, Nashville, Winnipeg, like, San Jose, is that a team? Like, who's a team that you could rally around in the Western Conference?
And what do you mean, rally around?
When I say rally around, like, I understand that Calgary's been outstanding. Right, they're probably the front runners in the West.
I mean, yeah, I'm not putting my money on them.
But I mean, they do 107 points. They're the only team in that conference. I know San Jose is 99, and I know there's a few games left here. But and Calgary hasn't played well down the stretch. Like, the hottest team is actually Colorado, and they stink. But like, Nashville's been 7-2. You know, St. Louis still in the mix. But to me, there really isn't a team that you can. Like, the West is wide open. You could take the eighth seed and you might have a shot.
Yeah, I do think the West is wide open. I think the winner, for whatever reason, I just have this sneaking suspicion, it's going to come from that Winnipeg, Nashville, St. Louis group. I mean, again, and I guess that's kind of getting ahead of myself, but man, those teams, the reason those teams aren't like 110 points because they've been facing each other all year. So that's kind of where I'm leaning in terms of the West. I think really you get behind one of those teams.
So, yeah, and listen, this is why I love hockey. The eight can beat the one. Sometimes the odds lean towards the higher seed. So, but just off the bat, Western Conference, I'm curious. Like, my antenna is up. Who's going to come out of the West? Like, that's what's interesting to me. But, you know, we can look up the matchup. Like, well, we want to go over some of the matchups?
Well, none of the matchups are locked yet, or not most of them are not locked. So right now what
we have an idea.
Well, kind of. Everything's kind of fluid right now in the West. And the only things that are locked right now, in actually the entire league, Boston, Toronto, and San Jose, Vegas. Everything else is fluid. Everything else. I believe that Colorado and Calgary will probably end up facing each other unless Dallas loses both their games and Colorado wins both their games. Then Colorado will face Winnipeg and Dallas will face Calgary. But let's assume that Calgary will face Colorado and Dallas will play the winner of that Central Division. Winnipeg, Nashville, and St. Louis are all right there. Nashville has 97 points, but they're you know, right there. So they have 97. Nashville, Winnipeg have 98, but Winnipeg is leading in row, which is regular wins, so no overtime wins. And so because of that, they are technically in first. Winnipeg is 96. They're playing right now. Nashville is 98 because they won tonight.
Just looking at the standings. Dallas has only given up 196 goals this year.
And Winnipeg lost. So actually, Winnipeg lost in overtime. Winnipeg is 97. So they are now tied with St. Louis, and Nashville is the clear leader in Central.
Wow. That, I'm telling you, man, that thing's wide open over there. And then obviously the format changed a couple of years ago where unfortunately, like, if you look in the Eastern Conference, Bruins are going to be the second best team, but they're going to have to play Tampa Bay in that second round. But let's not look ahead here.
Well, let's not, again, I don't want to look ahead because here's the thing. Tampa Bay is going to face either Columbus or Montreal. Now, Columbus, I was either 6-2 shellacking the other night, has been one of the hottest teams.
They've been
in the
very good.
So, again, I don't think Columbus is going to beat them. Tampa Bay plays Columbus very well. And so in that series, I would take Tampa pretty handily. In fact, you can usually get serious options, you know, Tampa Bay to win by X amount of games, whatever.
Could a Claude Julien Montreal team play a defensive style against Tampa Bay?
So that's exactly what I was going to say. I think Tampa will struggle versus Montreal. We saw it tonight where Montreal does struggle to score at times, but I do think that they would be a very good matchup for Tampa Bay. So I think that Tampa Bay would struggle mightily in that matchup, in my opinion. I got to be honest with you. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to come out of the East. I think it's going to be someone else. I just don't think Tampa Bay is going to do it. They've been such a dominant team all year. They haven't had to face adversity. At some point, that team will have to face an issue, you know, a big issue. I don't think they're going to win the East.
So looking at the East, I mean, you know, I think Tampa Bay and the Bruins have just been in a class of their own. And I know Washington's the defending champion and will always hang around. Like, the Islanders are a good story this year. Nobody probably wants to play, you know, Pittsburgh. They're like one of those teams. And then there's Toronto that had a hell of an offseason, right? All the young talents playing well. I don't know what it is, but that team, it's like they completely bulked up, but they're probably going to lose to the Bruins. But is there value in Toronto in that series?
Versus the Bruins?
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. If in the series between Boston and Toronto, it would be very hard for me to bet on Boston. I think that Boston is going to be overvalued. Here's my problem with Boston. Their lines, first off, are still far from gelling. So you really, if you can shut down, pretty much here's the problem. Everyone can shut down that top line and force the Bruins to roll their second and third lines. Now, last year, they got almost no secondary scoring. You know, you're not going to hold that Toronto line nothing. You're not going to hold the Boston line nothing. Toronto can roll three lines deep easily. However, Toronto has defensive issues. In my opinion, I would lean Toronto in that series. I'm certainly not betting it. These are serious prices. Game to game is very different. But serious prices, you cannot possibly pay me enough to bet that Boston-Toronto series. In fact, Vegas actually will probably have Toronto as the favorite in that series.
Wow. So here's what I think. And you mentioned the third line and everything like that. Bruins weighed out, made trades. They got Coyle. Johansson scored the other day. They got young players on that fourth line. That's probably the difference, is that the Bruins actually have a little bit of talent in their fourth line they can put out there every once in a while. It's going to come down to Tuukka Rask. It will come down to Tuukka Rask no matter what. For those who aren't Boston's, like, this is, we watch him every year. He's a good goaltender. He is. But has he ever stolen a game? Can you remember a game he's stolen? Like, that's the thing for me with Tuukka. The team is great, filled with veterans, young players mixed in, guys playing a little over their head, good defense, and they have leadership all over the place. And Brad Marchand has been spectacular. It comes down to Tuukka Rask. And against Toronto, and then if they have to go past Tampa Bay, that's the only thing I think that he could get off his back to, like, prove, hey, I'm the man. But you just said it, dude. He might not even get out of Toronto.
I mean, we'll see. I think the Bruins.
Is there any more pressure on anyone else than him? And, like, that's the thing for me. Would you put your money on Tuukka Rask?
Well, that's exactly my point. I can't possibly back the Bruins in a serious bet. Like, the fan in me wants to believe that the Bruins would win that game. But the reality in me thinks that Toronto probably would win. I'm certainly not betting that series. There's no way. I will tell you this. If Washington faces Carolina, I'll take Washington that series. Tampa Bay facing Columbus, I'll take Tampa Bay in that series.
You know what's another thing? Just that Washington. How many times did the defending champ get? Do they really get knocked out in the first round?
Very rarely.
You know what I mean? They kind of make that run and then, you know, have a hiccup.
Right. So, in my opinion, I think that Washington's still the best team in the East. So that, If I had to pick an Eastern Conference champion today, probably Washington. They're just, in my opinion, they're the most well-rounded, offensive, defensive, goaltending team. They're deep everywhere. They still have the most talent. I think, you know, the champion will probably come out of the West this year. I just think it's hard. Eventually, you can't do it back-to-back. But Washington got over the hump. You know, there's no longer that really big hump that they need to get over. They kind of got the monkey off their back. I think that Tampa's going to have some issues at some point. Like, just do. Like, I mean, if they roll, credit to them. I think at some point that team will have some issues, and we'll see how they, you know, see how they handle it. You know, if they go down 1-0, 1-0, 2-0 in, you know, in the second round, because they probably will roll Columbus, assuming that's who, you know, who poisoned them. You know, that sucks.
Tampa Bay, Columbus.
Well, I mean, Washington won tonight, so that's the reason. You know, Montreal Canadiens really needed that game.
Yeah, I just pulled up the NHL standings right now. So what they have is they have Tampa Bay, Columbus, Boston, Toronto, and then Washington, Carolina.
Yeah, and then New York, Pittsburgh, correct?
Yeah, and listen, the Islanders are a nice story. They're probably going to have the coach of the year. I haven't watched Pittsburgh enough, but I just know. For me, that's a Pittsburgh series.
I like the Islanders there. Not that I'll actually bet that. But, you know, I like the Islanders there. So,
and they won the last meet. Yeah, I'm looking at it here. New York's won.
I mean, again, head-to-head matchups, they're pretty similar. You know, New York's won the last two. Pittsburgh won the two before that. You know, I don't love using head-to-head matchups as a determination who bets, you know, who wins series. But I will say, for instance, Washington, Carolina, it's hard to ignore that history, you know. And Tampa Bay, the way that they play Columbus, man, it is hard for Columbus to break into their defensive zone. And now Columbus will have, you know, Duchesne on the top line. I cannot possibly see Tampa Bay not rolling the Hedman defensive pair versus, you know, Duchesne and Atkinson every single time. You know, Duchesne, Atkinson, Panarin. I mean, that is going to be... If Columbus wants to win that series, they're going to have to split up their elite talent. They're going to have to roll 2-3 lines, distribute some of the elite talent, because they do have it up and down their line. I mean, they have really offensive firepower, really up and down the lineup. But if they want to do that, they're going to have to distribute it well for Tampa Bay not to really lock in on the line or two. So that's my issue with them. I just think Tampa Bay is too talented, too good to lose to Columbus. But we'll see. I mean, I do think Montreal would give them a hard time. You know, the Claude breakout, Tampa Bay struggles versus that kind. I mean, they just do. They always have. So
in the Western Conference, Calgary, Colorado, San Jose, Vegas, I'm all in on. That's going to be on like 10 o'clock at night.
That's going to be an awesome series, man. Awesome. That is going to be my favorite series by far.
And I like Nashville and Dallas again, you know, an exciting team. Winnipeg, St. Louis. So, and then Arizona. Arizona just got eliminated. Anyways, they stink. But yeah, that's the playoff format right now. Hey, we'll have more on this. So, there's probably no better sport than playoff hockey.
Yeah. If you're looking for some value in the first round, Colorado to me does hold value. I probably wouldn't bet it, but if you're looking for a big dog, I'm not really sure what that price will be. Probably maybe like $350. Colorado's probably the best value in the first round. I'm not sure what Tampa Bay is going to be. Probably like $450. But if you get a spread, maybe 1.5 games, if something decent, I like Tampa Bay in the 1.5. And in Washington, Carolina, I do think Washington will end up beating them. Carolina's a nice story, but really, I mean, outside of the Aho line, their talent is limited severely. And, you know, defensemen, I mean, Dougie Hamilton's on their first pair of defensemen, you know, defensively. You know, Dougie Hamilton, Justin Falk, I mean, really, they roll very good defensemen. Like, Slavin's great. Everyone's great there. Slavin's probably elite, to be honest with you. But they just can't roll the offensive lines that Washington can. So, in my opinion, Washington will take that series. So, if you want early picks, and this is very square to me, Washington, Tampa, if you get them in a spread, I do think Colorado probably holds some good value there for me. And then I'm really interested to see that Winnipeg-St. Louis series, but we'll definitely get into that more next week.
All right, Hockey Talk, and I like how you said value with Colorado. I just looked it up. Like, they're one of the better playing teams towards the end of the year, and that's something hard to see because, you know, team like tonight, the Bruins, they win, but they, like, rested a bunch of guys, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's why it's at the end of the year. It's just it's hard to really wonder how a guy's playing. But that's our look at the NHL. I'm sure we'll have a ton more next week.
I forgot. I wanted to give out one play for tomorrow.
Here we go. Play.
This is my last hockey play of the year for regular season. I don't care. Saturday, whatever. I'm not playing hockey. So this is it. Friday night. Dallas Stars, Chicago Blackhawks. Under six. That's my line. That's my bet. Under six. Chicago, wow. Chicago Blackhawks, Dallas Stars. Tomorrow night, under six.
You're the man.
So that's my one play for the NHL podcast. Other than that, I will not be playing any more regular NHL regular season. 0-2 tonight. We're going to end on hopefully a winning note tomorrow, and that'll be it.
All right, thoughts on Major League Baseball so far, and we'll wrap up the show. We'll answer your questions. And WrestleMania! We'll get into all that coming up next. It's over, under 985, and the tagline says to listen to other original podcasts at 985thesportshub.com or at bpodstudios.com. They've been playing a lot of our stuff and promoting it all over the country, Dan. So we want lots of hits. Lots of hits.
Yeah, I mean, we're going national now. They're giving us projected ad reads to read, you know, whatever. So that, I mean, that's cool and all, and we appreciate that. So we'll probably be, you know, just heads up. There'll probably be ad reads coming pretty soon.
Yep. All right. We'll do more next. It's over under 985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
Over Under 98.5, just talking baseball. A couple of quick hitters right off the bat, Dan. The Red Sox stink, and if you bet them on opening day -200, yes, you were an idiot. The other thing I mentioned, you scoffed when I said Baltimore against the Yankees, but like Baltimore's won a few games in a row now, and the Yankees aren't playing well. So like, just off the bat, a couple of things: don't bet the big juice. The money, the dogs are probably in play, and I think the baseball is juiced. Because there's home runs everywhere, so maybe the over is the play right now, Dan.
Yes, a lot of runs early on, and this is why I told you I don't play baseball early. So I think this is a model that you should adopt too, because it helps a lot of bettors. Don't play for the first week or so. Just don't play because there's dogs winning everywhere. You know it happens every year. So for instance, today was my first play of betting baseball. I took the A's. It was my first play. I had the A's, and I played the Braves really small tonight, so they, you know, I'm not going to put those out because I'm still going very small. Starting next Tuesday, I'll start putting out baseball bets. You know, so we'll be technically a week and a half in. I'm still testing everything out, but yeah, you know, getting the kinks out and, you know, making sure everything was good to go. Early in the season, thoughts? You know, the Red Sox and the Yankees, not as good as we thought. You know, they're not going to be, you know, 500 win teams. They're just not going to do that. You know, a lot of these, you know, not as good teams are still okay. They have some talent. You know, maybe towards the middle of the season, we'll start fading them more. But right now, early on, you know, there's going to be a lot of bad pitching. We're seeing a lot of bad pitching, Joe. A lot of it. Something else is that a lot of bad base running. Terrible base running by all these players. So that means to me that it's funny because it doesn't really matter, but a lot of that is money. Other thoughts. Plus money in baseball is your friend. I mean, really, it is your friend. You gotta bet plus money, Joe. That's what you gotta do. You gotta bet plus money. And it doesn't have to be every time, but really, the plus money is where it is. You know, Oakland today, you know, plus money. And yes, you know, there are some times where it's okay to bet a fave, but, you know, plus money in baseball, I'm telling you, is your friend. Especially as we get on later throughout the season. You know, there's going to be lots of times people are wanting to take these massive favorites. For instance, tomorrow. I mean, you know, there are some really big favorites tomorrow. Tomorrow, St. Louis, minus 174 versus the Padres. Jack Flaherty's on the mound, so that kind of, that's probably why. You know, Houston, minus 172, calling the Q on the, you know, on the mound. Cleveland, 168 with Shane Bieber on the mound. He's facing Trent Thornton. So we have some pretty big money lines for teams that are, should not be, these massive favorites. So I'm interested to see. But plus money in baseball is your friend. I promise you. Give yourself a few days. You know, kind of get the kinks worked out. Recognize what's happening. You say, oh, a lot of runs. Maybe the over's the play. You know, just find your area where you're doing well. Totals, spreads, whatever. And again, you don't have to bet. You can practice bet these games. You don't have to put money on them. You can say, oh, this is what I would bet tonight. Write it down. See how it did. You know, sometimes that's just the best way of doing it to get, you know, to get better at stuff.
All right. I like that was quick. It was quick and nice and precise. I'll just run down WrestleMania quickly. So, Dan, WrestleMania 35 is the 35th edition. It is basically wrestling Super Bowl. I have traveled for these now the last 3 years, and I'm already going to Tampa Bay for next year. So to get to, you know, the old days of Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock and all that, it's over. It's gone. But Triple H is fighting. He's fighting Batista. You probably know who Batista is, right? He's an actor too.
Yes.
Avenger guy.
Yes, I'm aware who he is.
So they're having a match, and Triple H is favorite in that. Just the ones you, everyone wants to care about. First and foremost, Brock Lesnar. You know who Brock Lesnar is. He is facing Seth Rollins, who's getting the biggest push right now. Actually, Kofi is, but the go-home show had Seth go over. Normally, if I was betting in this situation, I'd have Brock to retain, because normally on television, if they put someone over the right before a pay-per-view, the other person wins. So, odds on that one? Seth Rollins minus 140, Brock Lesnar plus 100. I like Brock Lesnar on that. And then just Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston. Kofi's minus 325. Kofi, just so you don't know, Dan, he's from Winchester, Massachusetts. He came into WWE, and they gave him a Jamaican accent. And he's not Jamaican. And he's now in a thing called New Day, like a trio. And they're awesome. They're like the coolest dudes. But they're giving Kofi a big push. The guy's athletic. He's been, you know, wrestling for a good 11 years now. But, yeah, he's going to fight Daniel Bryan, who you may know is the yes guy. So right now Kofi's a heavy favorite. I cannot see Kofi Kingston winning at Mania. And then Ronda Rousey, you know who that is, right?
Yes, I'm aware of all these people. I know who they are. I just don't give a shit about them.
It's okay. So Ronda Rousey's going up against Charlotte Flair, who's Ric Flair's daughter, and Becky Lynch, who's the hot redhead that came into the station before.
Yep.
So Becky's a big favorite, and everybody wants Becky to win. The odds, though, forget about the match. Will Ronda Rousey take a break after WrestleMania? And the odds are yes. Maybe she wants to have a kid, maybe take a break. I don't know. But that's what I thought was very interesting when it came to the odds in WrestleMania. So that's I think that's the big match. We get the women's in there. I mentioned Daniel Bryan's in them. And yeah, for some reason, Finn Balor is minus 600.
All right. Let me,
I want to go against it.
So here we go. I want to give you the odds. And I want you to, I'm going to give you odds of each match, and I want you to tell me what side you like. How about that? Yeah. We'll just do that quick, okay? Brock Lesnar, plus 110. Seth Rollins, minus 150.
Brock Lesnar.
Okay. Becky Lynch minus 390, Ronda Rousey plus 400, Charlotte Flair plus 935. Sorry.
Charlotte Flair's the value, but everybody needs Becky.
Okay, so Becky is going to win that 390. Okay. Buddy Murphy minus 190 versus Tony Nese plus 150.
Buddy Murphy.
Okay. Triple H minus 300 versus Batista plus 220.
Triple H.
Okay. Kurt Angle minus 165 versus Baron Corbin plus 125.
So I like Baron Corbin in this one. It's okay. Kurt Angle's go home. He's going to retire after this.
Gotcha.
And I just feel like you can't bury a young talent, right? You're just going to bury him? Hey, Kurt Angle beat it. It's not going to help the career of Baron Corbin. If Baron Corbin beats Kurt Angle, he can say forever, I'm the guy who retired Kurt Angle. So that's why I like the value in that one.
Okay. Shane McMahon plus 240 versus The Miz minus 320.
So the Shane McMahon, I don't think, has won at WrestleMania in the last few years. I love the odds there. But The Miz is there's a whole father angle going on right now, and the emotional thing. And give me Shane McMahon.
Okay. AJ Styles plus 120, Randy Orton minus 160.
So this is a big one. I'm sure you know who Randy Orton is. He's a 14-time world champion. He's talked shit about indie wrestlers, like the guys that you see at, like, you know, the halls, Dan. Well, you know, Randy Orton's father was a wrestler, and this guy is, if you see Randy Orton, you're like, damn, look at that guy's body. But AJ Styles was one of these independent guys who made his way up, and it's what the indie guy versus, like, the thoroughbred pure guy. I like Orton to win because I think AJ's won too much.
Okay. All right, moving on. Who wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle?
I got Michael Che.
Michael Che, okay.
Is he on that list?
So
what's happening is they have the guys from Saturday Night Live, Che and Yellow.
Che is plus 20,000.
Oh, wow. So, but they Braun Strowman, like, has been doing these little bits with them.
Yeah, Strowman's minus 120, and the field is
Do you know who he is? He's the guy who lifts up the ambulance.
Didn't, like, Dan Orton or something win last year?
Who won last year? Oh, no, Matt Hardy won last year.
Matt Hardy, okay, yeah, so whatever. Daniel Orton was the favorite to win last year.
Randy Orton
was the favorite to win last year. He did not win. But yeah.
Oh, really? You remember?
Yeah, I do. Braun Strowman minus 120. Field minus 120. Who you take?
All right. Braun, so I go the field if I could, but they're setting this thing up to be Braun and Michael Che and whoever that other guy is.
Okay. Samoa Joe minus 260 versus Rey Mysterio plus 180.
Okay. This one's interesting here. Rey Mysterio got injured this week. He may be out of the match. There's a rumor that it might be John Cena to replace him.
Oh, boy. Gotcha. All right, Bobby Lashley plus 500, Finn Balor minus 900.
Yeah, do you see that? Minus 900. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm probably Finn Balor, but I'm not touching it. I'm not betting any of these. Drew McIntyre plus 225, Roman Reigns minus 305.
So you probably know the story about Roman Reigns, had leukemia, came back recently. He hasn't been right, Dan, believe it or not. Like, and I don't think it's part of the storyline either. Obviously it is predetermined, as we all know. And that's why WrestleMania, people love it, because we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody thought the Undertaker would lose years ago, who had a huge winning streak. And I know that sounds so geeky right now, but, like, that's what's happening. You know, they're probably changing the outcomes every single day right now. But who were we just talking about?
We were talking about, Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns.
Okay, yeah, so Roman should be favored, but he hasn't looked right now. He got hit in the head the other day, and, like, he just doesn't look right, and the guy's coming off leukemia. Like, it's, I don't know. It's tough to watch, I think, for me.
All right, the Boston Hug Connection versus the Divas of Down Doom versus the, I can't even remember.
Who are they?
The Iconics versus Nia Jax. Okay, pretty much you have the Boston Hug Connection. Do you have the Iconics? Do you have Nia Jax? Do you have the Divas of Doom?
Okay, so we get the Iconics.
Iconics, yeah, whatever. Same crap. The dumbest names in the world.
They suck, so they're out.
Okay.
Now, Bailey and Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks from Boston.
I know, I'm a fan.
The Boss?
Yes.
God, do I hate them together. Give me Nia Jax.
Nia Jax plus 950.
Tamina is the daughter of Jimmy Snuka.
Okay, plus 950 there. Daniel Bryan plus 245. Kofi Kingston minus 335.
So Daniel Bryan all the way. I'm sorry. Daniel Bryan's not going to lose to Kofi Kingston.
All right. And then the women's battle royale. Lacey Evans is the minus 115 favorite. The field is minus 125.
So give me the field, and I'm going to go with Carmella.
Carmella. Okay. I don't even.
She's from Spencer, Massachusetts.
Okay. And the last one. The Usos will win the Fatal 4-Way. Ricochet versus AM Black. The Bar wins Fatal 4-Way. Or Nakamura and Rusev. So Usos is minus 200.
Give me Ricochet.
Is plus 320. The Bar is plus 725. And Nakamura is plus 800.
Do you know who those people are?
I don't know, nor do I care.
The Usos?
I lost literally my attention span halfway through that.
Do you remember Rikishi?
No.
He was a big fat guy who would do the stink. He'd stick people's faces in his butt.
No.
It was called Stink Face.
I'm sure it was. I'm hard pass on that.
Do you know who Sheamus is?
Yes, he's the Irish dude.
Okay, yep. So he's in the Bar. Who else is in there? You don't know Ricochet or the other guy at all.
I don't know, no. The Nakamura dude, I assume is, it's some sort of Asian dude. Sorry if that's racist. But
Shinsuke is from Japan. Yes. Okay,
there you go.
So he is a Japan champion. And he's with Rusev.
Gotcha. Who's Russian. Gotcha. So we're all being super racist here. Gotcha. All right. Well, that's your wrestling minute. I'm tired of wrestling. We're moving on.
What are we going to do? Are we going to go to the window?
We are going to go to the window. We're going to go to the window quickly.
And wait, right now or are we going to stop?
We're going to go to the window right now.
Let's do it right now.
All right. All right, Joe. We have some questions. We have some questions left over from the other week, too. We have a lot of questions. Okay. So, first question is from Jordan. Question about the podcast for the ladies' final four. Who you got?
Oh, no, I'm not prepared for this one.
Neither am I. So you want to know what my answer is? And this is going to be terribly and whatever. I just don't care. I literally don't even know. If it's not the UConn women in the Final Four, I don't care. I don't even know if they're in there.
So Dan, I've done this before.
I think they are there, aren't they? Didn't they get there?
I was on an airplane, and I took Texas A&M.
Oh, my God, you degenerate. UConn made it to the Final Four. It's Oregon, Baylor, or UConn, Notre Dame.
Wait, who did UConn lose to last year? Was it Texas A&M?
I think they lost to Notre Dame, didn't they? Or Mississippi State, or I don't know.
Mississippi, that's who it was. That's who it was.
Mississippi State, yeah.
We're on an airplane watching. I couldn't scream. Just think about it. I'm with people coming from New England.
You lost money on women's basketball.
No, I won.
Oh, you won? Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
I love betting the WNBA women's college basketball. I have no idea about. Okay. Moving on, because I don't care. Bill asks us differences in betting playoff hockey and regular season hockey. There's a lot of differences. I think we'll probably get into this a little bit more in depth next week. But basically the main thing is that you're facing the same team over and over and over again. So the consistency of playing another team in hockey is very different. You have to consistently find holes and ways to beat a team. Very simply put, one game offs, you know how to beat a team. You know where there's holes. You're obviously scouting that team. Game after game after game, the adjustments. So it's really, you're looking for the team that will make the best adjustments, in my opinion. Hot goalies and adjustments. Okay.
Yeah. And I would just, if a team scores a lot of goals one game, I always go against it in the next game.
Okay. The next question was.
I got one for you. We might have brought this up earlier. You might have got this too. Got stoned on the bone and fell into a Twitter black hole looking at tout services.
Yeah.
I know we brought this up earlier, but out on tout services.
I know probably 400 to 500 tout services, and I know 3 that are profitable. So that should tell you all you need to know. And the fact is that you should not be buying plays. Unless you have money to throw away, you want to throw away your money, you should not be buying plays.
So I want to throw this out there. We don't have time. There's a famous saying in Boston radio, do that on your own time. But seriously, if you feel like you've been ripped off and you want to do a podcast about it, you should.
Fair enough.
Like, get the message out there.
Okay. This is a question, Joe, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm not going to list this guy's username because I don't think that would be nice. I'd like to go in depth on the Auburn game, especially the money line. With Auburn currently sitting at plus 200, where that might be a play for either of you. Also, the over-under is sitting lower than usual for Auburn this tournament. Is that a potential overplay? Joe, when I have guys asking me those type of questions, you know what I do?
Listen to the podcast.
I go the other way. Listen, there's nothing against this guy, but
how can we get a different answer there?
I go the other way. I'm telling you right now, Auburn.
But if you listen to the podcast, you're gonna get the over.
I actually don't hate the over. I don't think it's gonna win, but I don't hate the over. Do not bet Auburn. I'm telling you right now, Auburn is the dumb play this week. That's my opinion. Joe and I will disagree on that. I think
I get the over. I don't have a side on that.
Yeah, no, okay, that's fair. In my opinion, the dumb play this week is Auburn. That's my opinion. All right, question for the podcast. Do you ever do the big hero bets? 1K, 2K, 5K, when normal bets are a lot smaller, like 100 to 200, when stuck big time. So basically, do you ever chase massively? Also, do you guys stop at a limit? If stuck big, always looking to dig out.
Okay, this is good here.
So yeah,
We should talk about this for a minute.
I agree. You go first.
If you can go through a local, you're getting credit. Okay, so you know they can up a limit, whatever they want. They can give you $500 a week, $1,000 a week, $20,000 a week, whatever. Whatever you lose, you have to pay up. If you win, you get paid. The other thing with the Bovadas and the other ones, Dan, and maybe you know a little bit more than me, is you're putting your own money in and you're betting it.
No credit.
So that's why I feel like for some people, it may be better to do that because they can, you know, money management, be disciplined and things of that degree. Problem is sometimes, Dan, there are these second half bets that just look too good. Like they just lit juicy and you just want to lay a unit on it. So like I like the credit side of things. But
I think this is more of a question of, do you ever chase when you're down big?
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, I think that is how you dig into a massive hole. That's where you break your legs. That's where your family gets fucked up. This is because Joe, not everyone has a bankroll. So here is my suggestion. If you are betting 100 to 200 a game, do not bet more than 100 to 200 a game. I don't care if you love the play. If you think it's the best play in the world, bet 300 on it. Because if you start betting too much and you start losing, buddy, you're gonna be digging in for a 20K bet, and that's how you get effed up. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, I have guys who do that, and they're done by week four in the NFL.
It's bad, you know, like it's bad.
But to answer the question though, like you know, for me, I have a limit per play, and if I'm down. And I'm going to put the largest I can put down. And it's because I'm confident in the play. It's not because I'm chasing.
Okay, so I'll give you two things. First off, I bet anywhere from $20 to $10,000. I don't have a set amount. I just kind of go where I go and where I feel a play is warranted in terms of value. For every sport, I have a different unit value. For every sport, I have a different unit value. So maybe in hockey, my unit value, and this is not true, I'm just giving you an example. Maybe my unit value in the NHL bet is $100, so I bet $100 per NHL play. Maybe my unit in the NBA is $200, so I bet $200 a unit. So I have my own system. It works for me. That's, bankroll management is important. I learned this the hard way. Probably 6-7 years ago, I had about, I started betting really 6-8 years ago. I probably started with $300. I turned that into $5,000 real quick. After that $5,000, I turned that into about $20,000 over, 6 months, Joe, just betting, and I was starting out. I didn't know a whole ton about the game. When I played, it was a Packers-Vikings game. I fell for the most obvious bet of all time. I doubled, tripled down, quadrupled down live. I lost like $9,000, and I was pissed. So I chased on a game. There were no other games that day. There was one basketball game. It was a Pistons-Spurs game. I remember it very clearly. Sunday night, Pistons-Spurs game. Sunday night football wasn't on that night for whatever reason or whatever. I couldn't bet it. I don't remember what the hell it was. Spurs-Pistons, I asked a buddy of mine who was very good at the NBA What way would you go? He said, I would go with the Pistons. I bet the money line for a ton of money, and then they were down at half, and I doubled down the second half money line. It won. I won a ton of money that day. I have never chased again, and I never will.
So I'll share the story. NFL stupid. This year. Remember there was a Sunday night game that should have went over. It didn't. It was Kansas City. It was like 52 or something like that. I somehow had the under in the game. And when I tell you that I was up being like, how is this is impossible. And I chased that night, and it was the final, you know, final bet of the week. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it should have never happened. I still don't know how that game went under. And I think Tyreek Hill went down and didn't score a touchdown.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Todd Gurley?
No. I know that the Gurley play was different. That screwed a lot of people. But that was a Sunday night, man. I remember it went under. And then the next week, I remember, Dan, everyone was all over the Rams, and you were like, nope, Bears. And, like, that's what happens. Like, you're chasing, and then you take a road favorite. Oh,
just
it
guys,
really hurts.
Just please do me a favor. Bankroll management is just as important as understanding how to bet. If you go too far over your head, that's when you get hurt.
Just ask Vegas Dave. Watch it on the action.
If you're betting $100 to $200 a bet, please don't be stupid and decide to bet $600 on a whim. There's no reason to do that. Just bet $100 to $200 a bet. Just stay consistent. The best bettors in the world are the ones who stay consistent. And because if you're betting a percentage of your bankroll, you should always have a sliding scale. One unit should always be 1% to 3% of your whole bankroll. Right. Therefore, you're always betting based upon a sliding scale. It's super easy.
I'll give a shout out to our buddy Brick, the real Brick. He makes a play every night, and it's on a Google spreadsheet, and it's the same amount every single time.
Yep.
So whether he wins or he loses, it's the same amount. So he's positive for the year. If he stopped right now, he'd win money.
Okay, great. So we have a question from M. Can you guys talk about how to hedge a futures bet? Example, I put one unit on Michigan State to win at plus 1,400. What's the best way to hedge out? If you could talk about your hedging strategy in general, that would be great. So my personal opinion is I wouldn't hedge out, but because I like Michigan State to win. However, if you didn't like them to win, the best way to be would basically be, assuming you bet $100 to win $1,400, we'll just choose $100 as the base. If you wanted to, you could bet this week, whatever tonight, you could bet, I don't know, who are they playing? Texas Tech. You get Texas Tech on plus money on the money line, right? You probably get them at what, plus 110, whatever. I would bet plus 110. I'd probably bet $400. So I bet $400, and that would bring you, you know, and let's say you lost. So that means you're up $1,000 on that bet. You're still up $1,000. Then if you wanted to hedge in the championship game, you have Virginia. The look ahead is minus one. So you'll probably get a minus 120 money line. You can probably bet Virginia for, well, now you're down because you lost your 400 and you have the 100 to lose, so 500. So you can probably bet your 400. You could probably bet for 600. So you could probably bet $600. You'll make the money back that you lost and still make $100 to $200 off the bet. Or you could ride the future. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah, and just to give you a Super Bowl this year, I had a pool, not even a real bet, that if the Rams won the Super Bowl, I would have won $1,300. So what I did was I bet the Patriots money line and against the spread, and the Patriots won.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. The other thing you could do is you could bet the Texas Tech spread this week for 300. Hope you get it's a small middle because 2.5 points is small, but oh, you maybe buy it to 3 and lay like 400 to win 300 or something like that on, you know, plus 3 and hope that, you know, Michigan State wins by 1 or 2. I got to be honest, yeah, I probably wouldn't hedge this round. That's in my opinion. And if you lose your money, I apologize. I probably wouldn't hedge. If you're going to do it, make it worthwhile.
Yeah, it's so, it's so situational.
Yeah, agreed. But if you're really determined to do it, 300, 400 this round, and then if assuming Michigan State wins, you lose that 300, 400 plus the 100 you're going to lose from the future if they lose. So then you save, you know, $400, $500 total. You probably want to bet for $600, $700, you know, the next week versus their next game versus Virginia. And even if that, you know, if Virginia loses, you still take about $300 to $400 from, you know, from the bet. Because it pays $1,400, you'll probably bet about $1,000 that you've lost there. So that's the way I would do it. If you really wanted to do it, it would give you automatic winnings. So
yeah, just one other thing too is I like to do that with like if I bet a game and it looks like it's going over the first half. Sometimes I take the under second half, and it just washes out the bet. I pay the juice, but I hedged out of it. You know.
Yep. All right.
Be careful with those though.
Yeah, agreed. That's why I'm telling you exactly what to do right there. So you now know what to do. If you really want to hedge it, I wouldn't hedge it this round. I would save your hedge. Jake asks, can you give your thoughts on betting the Masters and perhaps betting golf in general? I don't bet golf, so I can't speak to this, Joe. Do you?
I know a guy, and I ask him, and then I make a play.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing about betting golf. I don't know the rhyme or reason. I don't have the strategy. That is a question for someone else, so I do apologize.
I will say this. I have taken action from someone who bets on golf consistently. And I'll tell you, those $300 bets that hit for $6,800 from some guy you have no clue who he is, that's what you do. You bet the dogs, bet them small, but you win big payouts.
Okay, so this is a very similar question about hedging. Do you guys, question guys, do you ever hedge a futures bet? I put a quarter of a unit to win 25 units on Texas Tech at 125-1 in November. Incredibly good odds.
Hedge out of that.
I have also Michigan State. I also have Michigan State to bet 2 units to win 8 units. So I have a guaranteed team in the final.
How much did he put down on the Texas Tech bet?
He says he put down a quarter of a unit to win 25 units. So he's going to win 25 units.
So 25 units,
and he has Michigan State bet 2 units to win 8 units. So I would probably lay... I would probably lay 6 units to win 4.5 units on Michigan State, because therefore you're at the very least you have some money there. So you'll at the very least you have to hedge on the Texas Tech bet.
Oh wait, somehow. Texas Tech has to advance. Oh yeah, so they got to be
right.
So Michigan's the way to go.
So if you take
just but what happens if they lose the next round?
Well, you take the Michigan money line this week.
Okay,
the money line versus Texas Tech for 6 units to win 4.5 units. That's the way that I would do that, Billy. I would do that. Therefore, you've already locked in 4.5 units of profit. Or if you still have 20, if you have 25 units, right, you're down the 2 from Michigan State, you're down the 6, so you're down from 8 from 25, so you have 17 units still have to play. Then you can hedge for really whatever you want in the Virginia game. I mean, really, you can determine how much you would like in that game. So that's really up to you. I'm going to tell you right now, I would hedge the crap out of Texas Tech because, again, you obviously know from listening, I don't like them. So that would be my suggestion. But
no, let's do a couple more questions here.
Okay. Okay. So we have pretty much everyone asking about hedging. So we have now.
Maybe we should do a hedging podcast.
Maybe we need to. Apparently, we need to do one. Okay. Not sure if you're only taking specific sports questions, but I was wondering your method for betting parlays. I'm new to sports gambling, and I'm probably 0-15 on parlays
no
so far.
No parlays.
So, Christian,
I am going to
my
be the...
my rule podcast: stop betting parlays and bet straight bets. You will lose your ass on parlays. The reason you're 0-15 is because parlays are stupid. Stop betting parlays.
Those big buildings that are in Vegas, right? You know how they pay for those
parlays and teasers.
Yeah, and then we got one coming to Boston now. You see that big bitch in the middle of Everett over there?
And the only time you can ever play a teaser is in the NFL. That's it. NFL teasers. That is it.
Yeah, there's actually accounts you can follow, and I'm sure there's a Twitter handle that just does, hey, this week's teasers. And I know that it's funny, Dan, is that like there are like women who are involved in this, and like it's like a thing going on at bars, and people love the teasers, man. It is out of control.
I think you have to be very sharp in order to tease.
So, be honest with you, I do 3-team teasers, and I know I know it's harder for three teams, but what I like about it is A, no juice. So if you put $1,000 down, you win $1,800.
Now you just got to do two team teasers. Anything more than that, you're
I get,
out.
I get it. I just, what I'm saying is I like the three team because I don't have to pay the juice.
Okay.
And I make more money.
Right. But then you also realize that your chance from winning goes from,
like, yes.
You go, your chance from winning just went from 5,200% to about 30%.
Yep.
Okay. I agree. Yes. So if you're a beginning bettor, please don't do that. Joe is a good bettor, so he can do that. He can get away with that stuff. Beginning bettors, two team teasers in the NFL. That's it. Only time you should be teasing. NBA college basketball teasers, with the exception of very sharp people, should right. not be using teasers.
I feel like I should say this. I do play parlays, but when I do, it's short money. Like if I'm up, let's say I'm up 768 for the week, right? I'll put $68 on a parlay. That's Dan. That's the honest to God, transparent truth. That's how I parlay.
That's fair. I'm just telling for the new bettors, the new guys who are new to betting, rookies just getting into it. Please don't bet parlays. It's just until you have an established bankroll where you can consistently feel good about doing things, you know, taking chances and risks, you should not be betting parlays. Joe has a massive bankroll. He's been doing this for a long time. He can feel safe betting parlays week in, week out. You guys do not. These are for the rookie bettors. Please, please, please do not bet parlays. Even a regular bettor betting 100 to 200 a week, you don't have enough big enough bankroll to be betting parlays and teasers and all that stuff.
No parlays.
Please be careful. Okay. Moving on. Will there be any Game of Thrones bets talked about this on the podcast this week or next week?
This podcast, no, but no. Next week.
We can certainly do that. I like that idea. That's a
pretty good one. April 14th is the return.
Okay.
Oh, and I'll tease one. The big one that's out there right now is who's Bran the Night King? -400. No.
Yeah, I agree with that. We will. We'll let's get in depth in that next week because there'll be more to cover.
Yeah.
I feel because the March Madness will be over.
NBA playoffs. Yep.
All right. I feel that this is going to be the last question. Fair. Last question of the night. I don't know if you know this site. I know this site very well, Joe. Curious to hear your thoughts on the website PropSwap. It's like an eBay for futures tickets. Saw it in an article. Find it fascinating. There's also Twitter. So I actually know PropSwap very well. I was actually texting with the guy who is one of the co-owners of PropSwap, Luke Pentagrade. Very cool dude, by the way. Like him a lot. He's a cool dude.
Let's have him on the podcast.
Pergonde. Luke Pergonde. Jesus, I totally butchered his name.
This is when you have a ticket or a bet, right? And they'll buy it.
Right. So what PropSwap does, and there's a huge news story about this week because Texas, there's a bettor who from Texas Tech who has a $1,500 future to win $300,000.
Holy shit.
He is selling the ticket for $65,000. So,
I would do it.
I would not. It's a terrible idea.
Come on, Dan.
No, you should not be buying tickets.
65 grand on a limb. You take it and you run.
Oh, I thought you were saying you were going to buy the ticket.
Oh shit! No.
Oh, 100%. Oh, I thought. So this is what you do when you don't have enough money to head something. I actually have a bunch of buddies who have sold tickets on the site, and it is awesome. I mean, really, the site is awesome. By the way, fully legal in Massachusetts. You can buy tickets in Massachusetts. 100%. It is legal. There's no legal issues, ramifications. Right now, today, if you don't want to bet, you could have your buddy go to a book in Vegas, list a prop on PropSwap for you, and buy it. That is the only way to get a legal ticket in Massachusetts.
The only other thing is you could hedge it.
Right. So
that's a story for a different day.
So I just wanted to say that is how you get legal gambling tickets in Massachusetts, PropSwap.com. However, hedging is the real thing about a prop swap. It basically allows you to hedge without spending your own money to hedge. Yeah. So,
but that Texas Tech guy, I'd take the 65 grand.
100%. 100%. Anyone who buys that ticket for 65 grand is, in my opinion, an idiot.
Yeah, who is that? The house just stay when we did really well. Like that's the interesting side to me. The house, somebody wants that ticket?
I don't know if it's sold yet, but they have tickets for tons of stuff, pretty much everything. I was looking for Michigan State futures this week because I wanted to buy some stuff. I wanted to buy some more Michigan State.
You know that in 2007 or 8, when the Patriots went undefeated, there were people who had bet on that.
Oh yeah,
and they were. I remember like one of the big storylines was, hey, do you want to keep the ticket or sell the ticket? And casinos were calling everybody like, hey, do you want to? Because they thought they're going to lose their ass if the Pats won.
Oh yeah, there's a 577.25 St. Louis Blues to win the 2019 Stanley Cup ticket. I mean, they have everything. Everything and anything. Golf to win the Masters. They have NHL, NBA, Final Four. They do everything. But basically, it's basically a site to hedge or buy tickets if you want legally to buy tickets. So that is how I would describe it. It is an awesome site. If you're a gambling guru or you're just into gambling, check it out. I'm not telling you go spend all your money and buy tickets, but certainly a place to get the best odds, good value. Guys who are selling their tickets. I almost sold a ticket. I almost sold my Michigan State ticket because I have a very big Michigan State ticket, Joe.
I've heard it. I'm gonna tell you. One random question. Can sure. I throw out a random question for sure. the crowd?
Of course.
Why is Stephen A. Smith running onto the court during a basketball game?
I saw that tonight. The break up a fight. What I have no
idea. I would never put if it was like, hey, who's gonna run out on the court tonight? I don't know if I'd ever have Stephen A. Smith as a finalist.
Stephen A. Smith is an idiot, man. That guy thinks he can do whatever he wants because he knows a few NBA players.
Oh, Dan, you're right. Anything you say about the guy, you're right. I do respect him. He was a really good journalist in Philadelphia, and
and he sold out, unfortunately.
I'll say this: he makes a lot of mistakes now. Dude, we work in radio, okay? We're not perfect.
Of course.
There are times I work two jobs. I do a 9 to 5 and then do 6 to midnight. And it's like, I can't even think straight. But, he is a guy that's overworked a little bit. And, I think that's where he makes his mistake. Like, dude, he's doing UFC. Like, get out of here.
That's what happens. Him and Skip Bayless are just over. There's just too much exposure, too much whatever. They're both sellouts now. It sucks. I mean, Shannon Sharpe isn't. They're all the same. You know, those guys who get on the shows, Max Kellerman, you have to have these ridiculous takes, and that's how you stay popular. People watch our shows because you have either ridiculously smart takes or ridiculously stupid takes. So, that's the only way you can do it. And so, that's the way these guys choose to do it.
Just other random, too. I think we should bring up the AAF, suspended operations, but a lot of the books are going to be paying out on the futures.
Right. So we talked about that this morning on Toucher and Rich. There is a FanDuel is paying out all AAF futures for their books. So, again, that's just in New Jersey. But all AAF futures are being graded as winners for players. Now, it's not common that this happens because books are usually assholes to players. But in this case, not the case. They are being very kind to their players. And so because of this, they are grading out all their wagers winners. Again, that amount was just under $10,000 or just over $10,000. So really a small market, not a lot, obviously not a lot of money.
The best advertising they could ever spend.
Yeah, exactly. And it gets you a lot of advertising. So I do think that was a pretty cool move by FanDuel.
One thing about the AAF too is the guy Tom Dundon, was he Carolina? I forget where he is.
Carolina Hurricanes owner.
Carolina. He did this all because he wanted to get that betting app going.
100%. And I listened to Amy Lawrence the other night, and I don't know. I don't really know what I'm allowed to say on this podcast or not. I'll say it like this. I despise that woman. I think that she's...
What did she say, though?
Well, I think... hold on. I want to say that she's the dumbest human being I've ever listened on radio. I think she's horrible at her job. Nonetheless, she was on radio the other night talking about Tom Dundon, and she said she could not possibly imagine the owner of a team buying and killing a franchise because he wanted a gambling app. And she thought it was no way that it was worth $70 million. So to me, she proved to be the dumbest human being in the history of the planet.
Dan, the reason why I see why you're so upset is because, people who are business owners, do things for whatever reasons they want. That's just how it is.
I mean, what he did was brilliant, because that app is worth a hell of a lot more than $70 million. So he cut his expenses. He made some money, cut his expenses, and made sure he didn't have any other margin to lose. So I don't agree with it. I think it really sucks.
It's a terrible take, and I'll use a wrestling reference. When WWE bought WCW, which was their competitor, do you know why they bought all these other things? Because they now have a library, and they have a network that people pay $9.99 a month so they can go back and watch that old shit from when they were kids.
And people
do. It was the smartest thing he ever did.
And people do. People do that all the time. I mean, you walk into the studio on Thursdays, you see Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny watching those matches.
Yes. And what I'm saying, though, is like, He bought the names just to own all the product. Like, forget about killing the competition and all that other stuff. He's actually making a profit off it. It's like genius. That's a dumb take.
And you know what?
At least we know the app's gonna work.
Oh, the app's gonna be incredible, dude. I've seen what the app can do.
We're already on the apps. I heard somebody the other day drives to New Jersey to play Philly and then comes back in because they can use the app. I just laugh. I'm sorry.
It's 100% true. It's 100% you do. You don't have to be a resident there. You just have to be in the state. So, all right, Joe. It's 12:47. I got to edit the podcast.
Let's do it.
I say we end, or at least we get close to ending here. Thanks for listening. You have all our final four picks. Joe gave out a PP. I gave out a PP. So two PPs in college basketball. We're not going to list them here because people, what they do is they skip to the end of the podcast to get the picks, and they don't listen to the rest of the podcast. So we're not going to give them out at the end of the podcast. I also gave an NHL pick, so you definitely should have heard all of that. We previewed with the NHL playoffs.
Everything.
We'll talk about the NBA playoffs next week. And Joe, I know I said no parlays, but I'm gonna do what I do every year in the NBA, and I'm gonna do my square ass NBA series parlay, Joe. My square NBA series parlay. We'll discuss what that entails next week.
Once
the odds come out, we'll discuss what that entails. Every year I do this. Every year I've hit.
I made a bet with Dan a few years ago and won.
Yes, he did.
I believe it was Golden State. In five?
Yes. I had Golden State in five. You had Golden State in four.
Was it four?
Yeah. Remember, they swept. So
that's right.
Should have been five because if it wasn't for J.R. Smith, but I'll forget about that. Also, we'll have the odds for pretty much everything. We'll obviously recap, what happened in Final Four, what happened in a championship game. We'll see if I'm a happy guy with all my Michigan State futures, because I'm not hedging them because I'm an idiot. So, we'll see what happens there. And, we will see, we'll talk about everything going on. The NHL will be locked in. Playoff series will start. NBA playoffs will start. It's going to be, it will be a fun, fun podcast next week, Joe. Yes. A lot to talk about.
And Game of Thrones. And one other thing to throw out there, I had a chance to join the guys over at WrestleCast 985. The name of their podcast is Wrestling Inside the Ropes. We literally did an hour of every single match and broke it down with the odds. So if you're a big wrestling fan, I suggest checking that out.
Great, great podcast. Highly suggested. And starting in a few weeks, we're going to start having guests. So if you have a suggestion for a guest that is not RJ Bell, because he's a horrible, horrible guest and he's an idiot, or Steve Fezzik. I know Fezzik won the Super Contest twice. I don't need to hear about it. The guy is not a good bettor, period. He won the Super Contest. He might be a good NFL bettor, but he cannot do anything else. So if you want to do his NFL, great, but not do it on your own time, not my time. That's great. I don't want to hear about any of the pregame Steam guys, because I'm not. If you don't know anything about pregame or Steam or any of the thing that happened, Google it. You'll find the Deadspin article.
How many women? What do you think is the over under that women have heard from men do that on your own time?
I mean, Jimmy Stewart's wife has to hear it. All this. I don't
all right,
know.
We gotta, all right, we'll do this. We'll do this another time.
We'll do that next week. We'll do that
we
next
get,
week.
We got to get out of here. All right, so it's over under 985. Everything is there. Listen to. I'm going to New York. Don't bother me. Don't bother me or Dan.
No plays for Joe. I'll be around this weekend. But
listen to the podcast.
I'm not giving out plays. No plays this weekend. You got to listen to the podcast.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Another long night for Dan Lifshitz and Joe Murray. This has been Over Under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.